Morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be held in Revelation 4:11 and Nehemiah 9:6. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, which all their host, the earth and all things are there in the seas, and in therein is thou preservest them all. And thou host of heaven worshipeth thee."
We can say amen, and my job will be done. Well, thank you, Isaiah. Mel, thank you. 68, an interesting time, and it's just ironic. The first time I heard the word sovereign, and that made sense, it dealt with money. Sovereign was referred to a pound. You see, pound was the, or sterling, was the money that was used in Jamaica. Incidentally, my mother's maiden name was Sterling. So a series of coincidences here. Twenty shillings were referred to as sovereign. So that was the connection. When you're in grade school, sometimes, well, for me, that is, didn't pay much attention unless it was something that I was interested in. And there was a little store that was close to the school that I went to, a little church school. Before the concept of open school existed, I guess we had it. It was a big room, and there were three teachers. Miss Vaz, who was my teacher, Miss Bignall, and Miss Fargo. Now, we had separate groups. However, if you stepped out of line by not doing your work, or you stumble over reading, or didn't do your assignment, or you were talking to your friend, and I sat beside Cosmo, and he always talked, and every now and then, one of the teachers would pass by, if not Miss Vaz, Miss Fargo, or Miss Bignall. During that time, they used straps. So, unbeknownst to you, if you weren't paying attention, you'd feel the gentle touch of the strap. And we had these little drills of knowing the currency. Now, it was a transitional time too, because we were changing from sterling to dollars and cents. And so it was a little bit chaotic. However, if you have had the opportunity of going through an English or British system, it's a little bit more, well, a lot more rigid. And I can confess and say, well, that system, while it's good, I think it inhibited my learning style, because the thought of being strapped for fumbling over a word didn't make sense to me then, still doesn't make sense to me, because if you're struggling with reading or with math, there's no way you can actually understand the concept as you should because you're worried about being hurt. And my particular fear was that here are these people who I'm not related to, and they're whipping me. I wanted to, of course, exchange whatever I was given, but their sovereignty at that time ruled. And you didn't want to develop a reputation of being asked not to return to school. So I'm thankful for Miss Vaz, Miss Bignall, Miss Fargo. You know, it is said that you remember your teachers, and you remember them for generally good things. Now, I resented being spanked. Never liked it. Of course, my wife is over there smiling and saying, well, you're the one who spanked the girls. But I realized that at times, that's probably one of the only ways, as I've gotten more gray hair. Some people want to say older, but more gray hairs. I realize that it all depends on the child. Let me not belabor this. I chose a topic, and I had no idea what I was getting into, because this word, it's at best ambiguous in its meaning. It's very hard to pinpoint. The meaning is not exact. But hopefully, with your help and God's help, we might be able to find some meaning. And I, in my search, got some help from a gentleman who is a theologian, an apologetical scientist, and he gave a pretty outline which I'm using. His name is James Fowler, and he gave me a nice little outline to help me share what I want to say. But before I do, during the Civil War, and Tom referred to Abraham Lincoln, he had a prayer breakfast, and here's what actually happened. Now, this account cannot be verified, so it could be one of those folk tales, but I think it served the purpose. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. Lincoln was not a churchgoer, but was a man of deep, if at times, unorthodox faith. At one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. Lincoln, let us pray that God is on our side." Lincoln responded, responded by saying, Lincoln's response showed far greater insight. "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. I hope today we are on God's side." Lincoln reminded those ministers that religion is not a tool by which we get God to do what we want, but an invitation to open ourselves to being and doing what God wants us to do. There's a song I wish I could play for you, but when I'm in the car with my wife, she doesn't care for the song that much. So I'm taking that as a hint that others might not necessarily like the beat. However, the words are beautiful, and I'm going to share them with you. It's by a gentleman who is vertically challenged. However, when he sits at the piano and he opens his mouth, you believe he's a giant. And his words are also powerful. It's called, "Where Would I Be?" What kind of God can make the can make a morsel of snow fall in a gray sky? What kind of God can weave the tapestry of a rainbow and sketch it into a wet sky? What kind of God can we, it's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? What kind of God can give you a vision and create a skyscraper tall? What kind of God can use the pattern of color and give it a name like fall? It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? I'll be at the bottom when you told me there's a place at the top for me. I'll be on the backside when you show me there's a place in the front I should be. I'll be on the outside looking in when you prepared me a table for kings. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? What kind of God can take my fragile and wounded heart, fill it with unconditional love? What kind of God can take away my guilt and shame and give me grace to rise above? It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? I'd be at the bottom when you told me there's a place at the top for me. I'd be on the backside when you show me there's a place in the front I should be. I'll be on the outside looking in. Where would I be? I'd be just like a ship without a sail, without you. Sovereignty of God. Think about it. And if you ask yourself, what does that mean? I'm sure the answers would be different. But here are some of the things that I've found. In the Old Testament, there is a little Greek word. It's spelled M-A-L-K-U, Malku, which means sovereignty. And a definition of that means king, kingdom, reign, royalty. Remember how I mentioned to you how Miss Fargo, Miss Vaz, and Miss Bignall, to me at that time, when they used the word sovereign, I thought of money. But I knew if I spoke out of turn or when I shouldn't, they reign. And of course, the strap was right there to remind you. I'm glad that the God that we serve, he's not into punish us or being punitive, but he's ever forgiven. However, we have responsibility that we have to live up to. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules all over us. Daniel 27. The sovereignty means the dominion and greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people or the saints of the highest. As I search, I looked in a dictionary, and a 10th grade teacher used the word etymology. And I said, what's that? She said, well, it's a dictionary. So I wanted to find out what type of dictionary it is. Well, if you go to the library, you'll find it. It's a big dictionary. And what it does, it gives you the origin of the word, where the word came from. And for some reason, I have this attachment to things that aren't really important. They're trivia. I love trivia for some reason. And when I looked up sovereignty, it's a Latin word which has its meaning A-N-U-M, which means super. It means chief. The French meaning means middle. Another French meaning, sovereign, and it means princely. In the Old English, it's spelled S-O-U-E-R-E-I-N. Supreme chief, principal. It was first added to the dictionary in the 1600s. A modern definition by the Webster's Collegiate shares supreme power, dominion, undisputed ascendancy, dominance, unlimited, and I'm glad God is unlimited with his patience, with me in particular, and with his love, and I'm thankful for that. There's a definition here that I don't particularly care for. Unqualified. I'm glad God is not that, because he's all qualified to be my Savior and your Savior. Charles Spurgeon, English theologian and great preacher, when asked what was his definition of sovereignty, he said, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. Lorraine Bodner, when asked, she said, although the sovereignty of God is universal and absolute, it is not the sovereignty of blind power. It is coupled with infinite wisdom, holiness, and love. And this doctrine, when properly understood, is a most comforting and assuring one. Who would not prefer to have his affairs in the hands of a God of infinite power, wisdom, holiness, and love, rather than to have them left to fate or chance or irrevocable natural law or to short-sighted and perverted self. Those who reject God's sovereignty should consider what alternatives they do have left. If you question sovereignty, I have no answer for you. I have referrals for you. Therefore, I refer Psalms 115, verses 3. But O God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. I'd also refer you to Psalms 135, 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deeps. By the way, another little bit of trivia. The word sovereignty does not show up in the Bible. However, references are made, and they are in the King James Version, there are 302. In the NIV Version, there are 272 references to the word or to the concept of sovereignty. But just to recharge ourselves on what sovereignty is all about, if you look at Romans 9:19 through 21, you will say to them, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I want God to have some sovereignty over me. How about you? An interesting concept that deals with sovereignty. It's a story. During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid in the government, for the children who are here and clueless about apartheid was a system of government in South Africa that ended in the 90s. The system meant that if you were colored, which would fit most of us here, you were restricted on where you could live and where you went to school. And Desmond Tutu was an Anglican bishop. And here's what he shares this experience. During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid, when the government tried to shut down opposition by canceling a political rally, Archbishop Desmond Tutu declared that he would hold a church service instead. St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa, was filled with worshipers. Outside the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered, a show of force intended to intimidate. As Tutu was preaching, they entered the cathedral armed and lined the walls. They stood out. They took out notebooks and wrote. At one extraordinary point, he addressed the police directly. You are powerful, he said. You are very powerful, but you are not gods. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So, since you have already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side. With that, the congregation erupted in dance and song. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidating had failed. Overcome by the Archbishop's confidence that God and goodness would triumph over evil, it was but a matter of time. I hope, having heard these ideas of sovereign and sovereignty, we leave here knowing that whatever opposition we face, whatever obstacles come our way, we can cling on knowing that the Lord, if it's his will grant them. Now, I don't want you to leave here thinking that, you know, things happen to you, or God let terrible things happen to you. Because you think of the concept of God being God and loving, he's not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt my child, and I don't see God hurting me. However, he allows things, because if he was a dictator or a totalitarian, the whole idea of us having choice would be thrown out the door. So sometimes, probably not here, some people are struck to say, well, if there were a God, then he would never allow evil things to happen. I can't give you an answer. All I can do, again, is to refer you to some of the promises that he has in the Bible. And there are seven texts that I probably want to look at. Christians understanding that God is sovereign over all that happens. What are some of the best Bible verses that show this? What is sovereignty? Sovereignty can be defined as having supreme authority, control, and power over all that has happened, is happening, and will happen in the future, in all times across all history. Christians define it as the rule for the universe, God having the right, the authority, the power to govern all that happens and what is or will happen, being in accordance to his divine will. He has the right to achieve his purposes and has the power to bring about circumstances that dictate whatever he wills to come to pass. He has complete control over everything, and there is nothing that is done that is not done by or allowed through his will. This is expressed by Paul in Romans 8:28, as he writes, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those who are God's chosen, they are those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the first among many. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Romans 8:29-30. His sovereignty includes those who have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. That is because He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in his age, but also in the one to come. Ephesians 1:21. Knowing this, we ought to note that the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you. Romans 11:22. Psalms 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. There is no reason to question the authority and sovereignty of God just because we don't understand what is happening or what did happen, because he has the potter no right over the clay to make out the same lump, one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use. Romans 9:21. He's free to choose to save. He has every right to do what he purposes, and all that he does is according to what pleases him. Don't we all do the same thing? Psalms 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of men plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And Genesis 50, if you remember the story of Joseph, as a kid I struggled with that, because I asked myself, why was it that Jake was showing favoritism to to Joseph by making him a coat of many colors? And then, as a young child, it appears as if Joseph was a little bit arrogant. You know, I had a dream, and I dreamt that 11 of you bowed down before me. If I had 11 brothers and sisters and they were talking like that, I wouldn't be too happy about that. But later on, when he was sold and he went to Egypt, suffering and enduring, he turned out to be a modern day savior for not only the people of Egypt, but for the people of the neighboring lands. And his brothers, while they were older, realized that truly Joseph was special. And while they did what they thought they should have done, when their plans were not nice, it turned out that it saved their life. And this is the type of God that we serve. When I look at myself and look at the different aspects, and I'm asking myself, why am I here? Why am I standing before you? I don't know anything. How did this happen? And many of you are probably asking yourself, well, it happened because you're a child of God, or this was a part of his will, and you're doing things that happened to be a part of his plan, and it probably wouldn't have been any other way. Others could have probably done what you've done, but he chose you. And each member of this church, we have responsibility and special assignment that no other can do but you. So we are all part of God's sovereignty. Gonna wind up. There's a story here that I'm not gonna read, but I'm gonna refer it to you. I think it'll be really touching. It's called It Happened on the Brooklyn Subway. It's a story told of a gentleman from Hungary who had to leave his country to join the military. His family, they were taken, and they separated. He ended up in New York and was in New York for a long time, and a friend was sick, and he visited the friend. But on his way to visiting the friend, he found somebody reading the newspaper. But the story, if you can look, it's online. It happened on the Brooklyn subway. And I think it's also found in Chicken Soup for the Soul for Women. But a really interesting story that deals with sovereignty. At this point, I'll leave a few more texts with you that you can probably look over and read them, because these are enduring promises. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in it lies your hand to make great and strength to everyone. 2 Chronicles 25:8. But if you do good, do it to be strong for the battle. Yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and to bring down. Luke 1:51-53. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. May the Lord be with us, and hope we ponder the thought or the concept of sovereignty. I am still looking for more or clearer understanding, but I realize that this can only happen through studying. So I refer you to the good book,